stage of the... Thank you. Let's turn tonight to John chapter 9. Turn into the book of John and to the chapter 9. We want to read the first 12 verses of the chapter. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Or if you look in your margin there, it says, he spread the clay over the eyes of the blind man. And said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbours, therefore, which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he saith, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, in this gospel, in the gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ, we see recorded for us the I Ams of Jesus Christ. The first of those is in John chapter 6 and the verse 35. I think it would be beneficial maybe if we were just to turn these up. I don't know if you know how many of them there are within the scriptures, but it's always good whenever you can go through the scripture and find them for yourself. John chapter 6 and the verse 35, and it tells us there, And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John chapter 8 and the verse 12, it tells us there, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 9 and the verse 5, we have read that one, I am the light of the world. John 10 and the verse 7, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. John 11 and the verse 14, Then said Jesus unto them, Plainly, Lazarus is dead. That's the wrong reference for that one. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? John 14 and the verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And John chapter 15 and the verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You know, as you read through the Gospel of John, and you discover the I Ams of Jesus Christ, you will discover that the Lord Jesus always verifies the things which he claimed and verifies the things which he said. In John 6 and 35, he says, I am the bread of life. And that truth was demonstrated for us whenever the Lord fed the 5,000. In John chapter 6, verse 2 to verse 13. John 11, 35, I am the resurrection and the life. And this truth was demonstrated for us whenever Lazarus was raised from the dead in the same chapter. The statements were made in John 8, verse 12 and John 9, verse 5. And then the Lord verified it whenever the eyes of a blind man was opened. We'll just turn up those verses again. Those verses are familiar to us tonight, John 8 and the verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And John 9 and the verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He verified it whenever he opened the blind eyes of a blind man. That man could see. And as we have read in this chapter tonight, we discover that this is one of the many miracles that was performed by the Lord Jesus Christ as he carried out his earthly ministry. And tonight, very quickly, for the time that we have, I want us to look at how the Lord dealt with this man. You know, sometimes we hear the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ preached, and here goes another one, here's another one, and we just seem to listen to the miracle, and we listen to the sermon, and we look at the miracle, and we look at it, we study it, we learn about it, and we just think that, who was this man, Jesus Christ? He was a man, the Son of God. He went from place to place doing good. He raised the dead. He made the blind to see. He healed the sick. He helped the lame to walk. He did so much, this man, Jesus. But sometimes there becomes a familiarity with knowing all of these stories. And I want us tonight to look at how the Lord dealt with this man. How he dealt with him as a man. And in what way did that man react to the dealings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that we notice is the darkness that blinded him. In this chapter, the evangelist does not tell us where Jesus is passing by. It just says in verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. We can only assume that the Lord Jesus Christ was passing by in the road as he had done every day before. We can only assume that the Lord Jesus Christ was going on in his everyday business, and as he was walking down the road, off to the side, he looked down, he saw a blind man, a man that was blind from birth, a man that the Lord Jesus Christ knew everything about. The Lord knew about him. He knew about him from birth. He knew the problems and the difficulties and the worries and the anxieties that this man faced. This man was a beggar. He knew all about him. The Lord knew every single thing about this man. The blindness of this man is especially noted because blindness was incurable by man. Man could do absolutely nothing for this beggar. Man could not help him in any way. Man could offer to him no help. He was blind from birth. This man doesn't know what he looks like. You ever look in the mirror and see what you look like? I don't know if it's a nice picture or not. That's up to you and all those that look at you. Maybe first thing in the morning it's not just so nice. I don't know if you have a bad head or what you have when you get up in the morning. But this man, he didn't know what he looked like. This man didn't know what the sky looked like. This man didn't know what the flowers looked like. He didn't know what the beauty of God's creation looked like. You know, eyesight and the sight that we have is something that we can take for granted. But here was a man, and he was born blind. And right from his earliest of years, he did not know what any of these things looked like. He had never seen anything of beauty. He had never seen anything of misery. Oh yes, he had heard plenty of things. But he had never seen somebody cry in distress, upset, full of worry and anxiety. He had never seen anybody running down the road full of excitement, full of joy, overwhelmed with glee and happiness. He had never seen any of that. Yes, he had heard it, but he had never seen it. He knew that it had happened, but he himself had never seen it because he himself was blind. In verse 1, it tells us that this man was a beggar. Probably as a consequence of his blindness, he couldn't work. This was a man who was deprived of his sight. He was born blind. This is a fundamental teaching throughout all of Scripture, that man by nature himself is born blind. Man himself is born in sin. By nature and from birth, you and I, we are born blind. We are born in sin. We are born spiritually blind. Turn over to John chapter 3. We'll turn you up to the Scriptures, and you don't have to take my word for it. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's probably a more familiar passage to us. 2 Corinthians and the chapter 4 and the verse 4. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 18. Just over a few pages. Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That word blindness can also mean hardness of their heart. So this is a condition that we have been born with. That verse tells us there that we have, our understanding has been darkened. Because of our sin, we can't see clearly. Because of our sin, we have been alienated from God. Because of our sin, we are ignorant to these things. Because of our sin, we have been blinded. We cannot see. Our hearts are blind. Our mind is blind towards the things of God. Spiritually, we are blind. Unless we're saved. Unless the glorious light of the gospel has shone forth into our darkened heart. Let me ask you today, have you seen the light? That's what people talk about. They say, so-and-so seen the light. But have you seen the light in a real way? I don't mean that you've seen the light and you've cleaned up your life and you're now a good boy, where once you were a bad boy. I mean, has the glorious light of the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shone into your heart? Have you seen your sinfulness? Have you seen the wonder of Christ? Have you come to the cross and confessed your sin and trusted in Him as your Savior? That's what I mean. Are you saved? Are you now a Christian? Or are you still blinded by your sin? Have you ever tried to describe an object to a blind man? You can describe it as best you can. You can tell him all about its color. You can tell him all about its shape. You can tell him how beautiful it looks. You can tell him about how wonderful and glorious a thing it is. But you know what he's going to say to you? I'm blind. I can't see it. Day in and day out, I go around the doors of Ballymoney and District, and I tell men and women that they are sinners. I tell men and women that they have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I tell them that Jesus loved them so much that He left the splendors of heaven. He came down. He lived. He died on the cross. He rose again the third day. He now lives triumphant in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. And He wants to save them. He wants to wash away their sin. And they don't see it. Do you know why? Because they are spiritually blind. They are blinded by sin. The God of this world, who is the devil, has blinded the hearts and the minds of them which believe not. In 2 Corinthians 4 and the verse 4. Let me ask you today, friend in Coleraine, are you blinded by your sin? Do you see that you're a sinner? I'm wearing a pink shirt and I'm wearing a pink tie. You know that because you see it. I've got very little hair, I've some hair, but very little hair. You know that because you see it. I'm wearing glasses tonight. You know that because you see it. Are you a sinner tonight? Do you know it? Do you see it? Are you saved? You can describe anything to the blind man, and he will say, I'm blind. How do you see it tonight, friend? You're here tonight and you're not saved. You can't see your sin. You can't see your hopelessness and your helplessness before God. You need to understand God's truth. Your eyes need to be opened tonight. And we as Christians, we need to pray that the eyes of the unsaved are opened. That God will soften their hearts. That their minds and their hearts will be receptive to the things of God. That they will understand God's truth when their eyes are opened. I believe that there are those that do see their sin. I do believe that there are those whom God is pleased to open the blindness of their eyes. And they see their sin. They see that they are a sinner. And they understand and they do see that they are condemned before a holy God. But they choose to reject Jesus Christ. I do believe that. I went to the bedside of a man a number of weeks ago. And with the work that I'm in, I only ever heard about situations that men found themselves in. But now slowly, I'm beginning to experience these things. And I was at the bedside of a man who knows the gospel inside out and back to front. Because Albert Macaulay, the man who did the work before me, he had spoken to this man many times. And this man's wife saved. And I went into the bedside. That man, he was in hospital and he was so very sick. And I had never experienced anything like it in my life. The atmosphere around that bedside, the devil was there himself. Every single time I tried to introduce the Lord, and I'm not abrupt with it. I don't just parade in and say, listen, boy, you need to be saved. You're going to be lost. I try and bring it around in conversation. I try and use tact. I ask the Lord for wisdom. I suppose it's my sales background, if you like. And I ask the Lord to give me the leading and the guiding and the prompting and the opening. And the Lord does do that because I have asked Him and I have got it. And the Lord has given it to me. But the door was closing every single time. And there was a television in His ward. And every time I went to speak to Him about the Lord, He started to watch the TV. And it's a hard thing to speak to somebody when they're watching television. And then the Scriptures was read. And the son came in. And he just barged straight on in through the room and sat down and started talking to his father. And that was another upset and another distract as well. Your friend, today I do believe that that man realized that he needed Jesus as a Savior. But yet, in the latter stages of his life, the man is an old man. In the latter stages of life, he just says no to Jesus Christ. Friend, today, do you see your sin? Do you see Jesus Christ? He died for you on the cross. Do you see Him at your heart's door? But yet you are saying tonight, I don't want You in my life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking at your door. Will you not let Him in? Will you not come into God's marvelous light? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. If you have a margin in your Bible, that word, those words, peculiar people, that means a purchased people. Jesus Christ has purchased you on the cross at Calvary. He died to set you free. Jesus shed His blood that you might have your sins washed away. And tonight He's calling you out of darkness into light. Nobody likes to sit in darkness. Do you sit in the dark in your house? You probably do if you're watching TV. You don't sit in the dark. Do you eat your dinner in the dark? Do you read a book in the dark? Nobody likes to be in the dark. We like to see what we're doing. We like to have the lights on. We like plenty of light to come in through. But here you are sitting in the darkness of your sin. And the Lord is calling you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Friend, will you not come and trust Him as your Savior? Are you spiritually blind tonight? Blinded by sin. Notice with me also not only the blindness, but the presumption that surrounded Him. Look at verse 2. And Jesus and His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? There's a question for you. How would you answer that one? Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents? Why was this man born blind? Jesus, what does it mean? What does it mean that this man was born blind? Why was he born blind? How could this man sin before his birth? Surely this man wasn't born blind because of his sin. After all, he was blind from birth. You see, many of the Jews, they believed that even a child in the womb could sin. Turn over to Genesis 25 and the verse 26. Genesis 25 and the verse 26. Now, I don't believe this. I believe that a child is born in sin with a sinful nature. But the Jews, they believed that in the womb, a child could sin. Genesis 25 and the verse 26. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And turn over to Hosea chapter 12 and the verse 3. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. They were basing their teaching upon what they had witnessed from Jacob and Esau. Now, I don't believe that a child can sin in the womb. I believe that all of us are born in sin because that's what the Bible says. I believe that we are born into a world of sin, and I believe that we are born into a world with a sinful nature. And here was a man, and the disciples had asked, Lord, who had committed this sin? He or his parents? Even in the womb, This was the behavior of a very small child. But the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the answer in verse 3. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." In other words, what the Lord was saying here is, that man, he's not blind because of his sin. That man is not blind because of his parents' sin. But because that man is blind, we will see the glory of God. Because that man is blind, we will see the works of God in his life. And friend, tonight, here you are in Coleraine, and you are blinded by your sin. Here you are tonight, and you are held fast in your sin. And it's nobody's fault. We're born in sin. We are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, they fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. But the works of God can be made manifest in our life if we have Jesus Christ to be our own and personal Savior. What a change. What a work. What a difference He can make in our life. And then the Lord says in verse 4, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." The Lord Jesus Christ has given a very good answer here to these men. "As long as I am in the world," verse 5, "I am the light of the world. Blindness and all other diseases and even death itself is as a result of sin." That is why this man is born blind. It's not because of his personal sin, but the disease is because of sin. It's the same with any illness, any disease, and it's the same with death. It's as a result of sin. Romans chapter 6 and the verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Friend, tonight, sin is that curse that has fallen upon all men right from the very beginning. None of us are any different. Right from the very beginning of time, we are all born in sin. The trouble and the turmoil of sin has affected us, each and every one. This man wasn't blind because of his own personal sin or because of some sin that his parents had committed. No. He was blind because of sin. Because man, by nature, was born in sin. So too are all other illnesses, diseases, sufferings and troubles. We'll see what it says in the scripture. Turn up Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. You want to know why there's so much sorrow in the world? You want to know why there's so many in agony? People ask me, if God is love, if there's a God in heaven, why does God send a tsunami? Why does God allow the earthquakes to happen? Why does God allow all of the bad things to happen? All of those things happen because of sin. Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 14. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Look at verse 17. "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Verse 18, "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." So before man fell into sin, there were no thorns, there were no thistles. Verse 19, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Man didn't even have to work until he fell into sin. He had to sweat, work by the sweat of his face. All of this because of sin. And then they realized their nakedness. And then they were driven out of the garden. All because of sin. This man was born blind with physical blindness. But friend, tonight we have been born with spiritual blindness. Are you saved? Can you see tonight? Are you a Christian? We must not misunderstand here verse 3 of John chapter 9. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents," the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't saying that this man or his parents were free from sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, He didn't mean this. He wasn't saying this is because of personal sin. He wasn't saying that these parents and this man was free from sin because they had sinned as well. What about your sin tonight? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But notice with me also the miracle that healed him. Because in verse 6 we see that the Lord spits on the ground. He makes clay from the spittle. And what does he do with the clay? He puts it on the eyes of the blind man. He puts it on the eyes of the blind man. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Or he spread in the margin the clay upon the eyes of the blind man. He took the clay. He made a paste. He spread it over the eyes of the blind man, the clay that he had lifted from the ground. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ do this? What was his purpose? Why did Jesus do this? Why did he place the clay on the man's eyes? Was there a symbolic significance? Was the clay a type of sin that needed cleansing? Because remember, the Lord sent him after he had done this in verse 7. He says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So did the man need cleansed from that sin? That clay was a type of sin. That clay almost was covering his eyes that he could not see. And here you are today, and the blindness of sin is on your eyes. You cannot see your sin. You cannot see the terribleness of your sin. You cannot see the doom that lies before you in a lost eternity. You can't see it because you're blind. This man couldn't see the clay because he was blind, but he could feel it. And here you are tonight, and you cannot see your sin, but you can feel it. You can feel the hurt. You can feel the trouble. You can feel the depression and the anxiety and the worry and the disappointment and the upset and all of the grief and turmoil that sin brings. And let me tell you something, sin does bring that into your life. You maybe think that you're not a big sinner. You maybe think you have never been out in the world. But listen, young person. Listen, older person, to the smallest of sins in the minds, in our minds. What a mess they can make of your life. God doesn't grade sins. God doesn't look at your life and say, look at the sins he has done. Look at the sins that she has done. That's a big sin. That's a wee sin. Sin to God is sin. And you can feel the burden of your sin. You think of Pilgrim. I often think of Pilgrim. And Pilgrim was bent over with the weight of sin on his back. He couldn't see it, but he could feel it. And friend, that's the case for you and Coleraine today. You cannot maybe see your sin, but boy, can you feel it. And your life is such a mess. Here was a man, the Lord had put the clay on his eyes. Maybe it was to indicate healing, that the healing could only come from the Lord himself. Or maybe it was just a picture of the minds of men, darkened by the things of earth. Just maybe. We don't know what the Lord was trying to show. What did Jesus say? In verse 7, the Lord says, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. Have you ever noticed, if you've read through the scriptures, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he often said go before he said come. You ever notice that? We don't have time to look at it tonight, but I can give you instances. The woman of Samaria, John 4 and 16. The rich young ruler, Matthew 19, verse 21. The 10 leprous men in Luke 17, verse 14. And the nobleman in John 4 and the verse 50. In all of these cases, we see the obedience of faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord alone can only perform the miracle and open the blinded eyes. It's only the Lord alone. But he does it through the channel of faith. What did the Lord do? He put the clay in the man's eyes. He says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam and you'll be clean. Your blindness will be gone. And sure as anything, as we read the scriptures, that's exactly what happened. Because in verse 11, I went and washed and I received sight. Friend, today here you are and you're blinded by the sins, you're blinded by the things of earth. You cannot take it away yourself, you cannot make yourself to see, but the Lord commands you to go. Go to the cross. Come to Calvary and you will see. We notice also in this miracle what the man did, because in verse 7, We see there that he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. This man was completely obedient. He went his way and his blindness was gone. He did exactly what the Lord had commanded. And the Bible says he came seeing. If you were to come to the cross tonight and get saved, you would go rejoicing. You would leave this house tonight saved. That old burden of sin, all of that turmoil and trouble and worry and anxiety and all of that, oh, it would go. And the burden of my heart, it rolled away. I love those children's choruses. Rolled away, never come back. And the burden of my heart, it rolled away and it never came back. Because Jesus is my Savior and Jesus is my friend. And he washed my sins away. Friend, tonight this blind man, he couldn't see a thing. All of his life, blind from birth. And yet he went to the pool in faith. He washed. And the Bible says he came seeing. If you were to come to Christ tonight, if you would just get to Calvary and trust Jesus as your Savior, confess your sin to him, look to what he did for you in the cross at Calvary, you would come believing because your sins would be gone and the burden of your heart, you would be set free. Notice with me the opponents that troubled him. Oh, what an amazing thing. He was a poor blind man. He had been blind all of his life. He has just had his eyes opened by a wonderful miracle. And everyone around is so disturbed that they excommunicate him out of the synagogue. They throw him out. It tells us that in verse 22 and the verse 34. We don't have time to look at these verses, but isn't that always the case? Isn't that always the case? Jesus came from heaven. He was crucified. He was rejected. The prophets, apostles, martyrs, all of those people have faced opposition. No one ever becomes a Christian without facing opposition. And maybe that's the very thing that's holding you back. Mark, listen. Mark, I would love to get saved. Mark, I would love to be a Christian. But Mark, I have to go to work tomorrow. Mark, I would have to go and tell my parents. Mark, I would have to go home and tell my wife. I just couldn't get saved. Let me tell you something. Here was a blind man, and his sight meant more to him than anything that anybody could say to him or about him or do for him. His sight meant more to him than anything else. And let me tell you, if you get saved tonight, your salvation, having your sins washed away, having the promise of a home in heaven, it will mean more to you tonight than anything that anybody could ever say to you. If it doesn't, you're not saved. Every day I go to the doors, every time I'm chased, every time somebody shuts a door in my face, every time they say anything about me or to me, I walk down the path and I say to myself, it's great to be saved, and so it is. And this man's sight meant more to him than anything that these religious hypocrites had to say about him. He had to face his neighbours in verse 8 and down through to the end of verse 12. The neighbours therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? So he had to face his neighbours. They saw the change. But yet they were sceptical too. The Pharisees openly opposed him in verse 13 to verse 18. How sad, these blind religious leaders. How often this is the case when people find Christ. That these old dead professors of religion, they're the ones that pour the cold water on their faith. They are not possessors of Christ. But they're holding on to a dead form of religion. Here was a man, and whoa, what a difference it made to him. Then we see the parents, they were called on the scene, verse 18 through to 23. They were so terrified, they didn't even want to stand beside him in verse 21 through to 22. They were too terrified to stand by their son, but inwardly they were rejoicing that he had been made to see. How little rejoicing we do over sinners getting saved. What did his parents do in verse 21? But by what means he now seeth, we know not. We don't understand it. But all we know is he can see. What about it, young person, tonight? Would you not get saved? You would go home and your parents would see the difference. They would be able to say, we don't know what the change has been, but boy, it's great. What a testimony that would be in your own home. What a testimony that would be in the workplace or the college in which you go. The last thing that we want to look at tonight, time is gone. The assurance that gripped him. Verse 25. This is the blind man. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You know what he said? They were reviling the Lord Jesus Christ. They were criticizing the Lord about the miracle that he had done, when he had done it, all of that. But this blind man, he stands back and he says, listen, Whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know. Once I was blind, but now I see. Let me ask you, friend, tonight. We clearly see the testimony of this man concerning his physical blindness. But a greater blessing to him was that he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He progressed in the knowledge of the Lord. Once I was blind, but now I see. Can you say that tonight? Can you say that once I was a sinner, but now I've been set free? Jesus has reached down and rescued me. This man declares most definitely what Christ has done for him. Can you declare that tonight? Can you declare tonight beyond all shadow of a doubt that you belong to Jesus? Can you say tonight that yes, once I was blinded by sin, once I was held fast in sin, but now I'm saved. Now I see. Now I serve Jesus. King Jesus is my Savior and my friend. What a difference Jesus makes in your life. Friend, if the very thought of heaven, if the very thought of having had your sins washed away and having had your sins under the blood of Christ doesn't thrill your heart, well then you're not on fire for God. Because that's the very thought that should thrill the heart of each and every Christian. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Let me ask, are you saved? Are you ready? Are you blinded by sin? Have you been set free? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? This man's sight meant more to him than anything that anybody could ever say or do. What does Jesus mean to you tonight? Does he mean more to you than anything anybody could say about you or to you? I'll tell you what Jesus means to me. He means everything to me. Sometimes I get down. Sometimes I might go cold. Sometimes I might drift along. But Jesus means everything to me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you're not saved tonight, I trust that you'll come to know Jesus as your Savior. That you'll fall down before him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I see my sin. Lord, I see that you died for me. Come into my heart and into my life. And Lord Jesus, set me free. Let's close our meeting in prayer. Gracious God,